Now you will see just how powerful my God is. That was my thoughts. I had been dating my now wife, Sue, for a year, and her sister, Lori, was pregnant with twins. And the ultrasound showed that there was a potential problem. They had twin-to-twin transfusion, which meant, unlike most twins, they shared this direct line of this blood was directly shared between them. Well, Abigail was much larger than her sister Olivia because Abigail was getting the blood first and she was taking all the nutrition, and then what was left over was going to Olivia. Well, Sue and I prayed several times for the well-being of these twins and for her sister. And she mentioned just how confident I was in my approach to God. And she admitted she did not have that kind of faith. Well, I was confident in my prayer, and I trusted that my prayer to God would be answered. Well, the doctors were closely monitoring the situation, and her sister finally went into the hospital on a Friday for what might be her last ultrasound before they induced her for the babies. Well, they told her to be ready to be induced that Friday, but they wanted to see. So after careful review, they did another ultrasound. Both babies were healthy. Abigail was much bigger, but both were healthy and good. So they decided to set the date for to induce her that Monday. So that she was going to go through the weekend and they were going to induce her for Monday. Because they stated really what they tried to do is keep the babies in the womb for as long as possible. Well, Saturday, Lori knew that something was wrong. And she went into a hospital and tragedy hit. There was a rare event that's called reverse twin transfusion. And what happens is the blood reverses between the twins. Well, Olivia, who was the smaller one, suddenly got this just wave of blood that she just could not handle. And Abigail lost a major amount of blood, which carries oxygen. Well, so there was an emergency cesarean section, and Olivia died right away, and Abigail was barely hanging on. Well, at least we have one, we thought. I remember praying with Sue that Abigail gets stronger and that God would heal her of any problems. But the doctor, Sue, found another major problem. And a couple of days later, they did a test to show that Abigail had 80 to 90% brain damage. And that's because she lost so much oxygen during this transfusion. Well, at that point, it was hard to get on our knees, Sue and I, and pray. Do I pray for healing? Do I pray that she would die? I mean, I admitted to God through tears, I don't even know what to ask for. And I ended the prayer, "Your will be done." Well, 10 long days later, in a room, the whole family was together. And as Sue held Abigail, she took her last breath. Was it God's will that baby Olivia and baby Abigail died? I mean, I felt stunned at what happened. Anger, sadness. I mean, I was numb. I mean, I was going through all the stages of grief. And my wife would ask, I mean, how can you give God credit for the good in your life, but not give him the same credit for the bad that happens? Well, I couldn't answer that. I mean, I could give a surface answer, but deep down in my heart, I struggled with that question. What is God's will? Well, Sue's father was struggling with his faith, and he got a book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And it was written by a Jewish rabbi. And he seemed to find some confidence in this book, and it gave him some answers that, you know, unquestionable answers that he had. about God. So he gave the book to me to read. And as I read it, I got shocked at the premise of this book. The author wrote, "This is a very personal book written by someone who believes in God, in his goodness, and in the goodness of the world. Someone who has spent most of his life trying to help other people believe and was compelled by a personal tragedy to rethink everything he had been taught by God and his ways. And this rabbi had a young son who died a tragic death. And his conclusion he gave at the end of his book, and let me read it. Are you capable of forgiving and loving God even when you found out that he is not perfect? Even when he has let you down and disappointed you by permitting bad luck or sickness and cruelty in the world and permitting some of those things to happen to you? Can you learn to love and forgive him despite his limitations, as Job does? Or as you once learned to forgive and love your parents, even though they were not as wise as you thought or as strong or as perfect as you needed them to be?" Well, so logically, he looked at the world and figured out, in a sense, God created this creation and it kind of got away from him. And this world and all the evil in it could not have been God's will. So logically, and you barely can blame him, right? Well, this got away from God. Well, so just what is the will of God? Well, the first thing we need to do is to recognize that there's two very powerful principles in scriptures that must be understood. And it is the foundation for understanding God and what his will is. The first is God is sovereign over all. I mean, he is revealed as the sovereign Lord, the sovereign creator of all things visible and invisible. And the second is scripture affirms that we have been blessed with this incredible gift by the hand of God. And that gift is free moral agency. Or simply, we have the ability to choose in life. So first, let's look at the sovereignty of God. Please turn to Psalms 24, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. In Psalms 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." Now let's look at a verse in the New Testament, Romans 9, and we'll read verse 20. In Romans 9, verse 20, it says, "But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?'" I mean, so God reveals himself in the scriptures as the master creator of the heavens and earth and all that is in it. So our first principle here is God is a supreme ruler. So the second principle to understand is free moral agency. Turn to Deuteronomy 11. And we can see that this is established in Scripture. In Deuteronomy 11, and we'll read verse 26 through 28. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey commands of the Lord your God, which I am giving you today." So then blessings then sort of involve a hearing to what God says and he outlines the welfare for all of humankind. But on the other side, verse 28, the curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from what I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. So the curse happens if we do not listen to God and disobey him. So to get a greater understanding of what God's will is, we have to reconcile these two ideas. So with this in mind, let's now look at the will of God. And there's three basic areas of that will that falls into Scripture. The first area is what we call a direct or purposeful will of God. The purposeful will of God is where God himself has said certain things and he's the one who's going to execute it or bring it to pass. I mean, there's nothing that can stop him, for he is the sovereign Lord. To show an example of this, turn to Isaiah 46, and we'll read verses 10 and 11. This is where we're going to see a purposeful will of God. In Isaiah 46, verse 10, it says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. I mean, that's purposeful. That's determined from God's point of view. He says it, it gets done. Nothing stops his purposeful will. He determines it, and it happens. Turn back just a little bit to Isaiah 14 and verse 27. And again, we see this principle. Isaiah 14, verse 27, it says, for God, the Lord of hosts, has purposed. And who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? I mean, is there anyone more powerful than God? Well, Scripture says no. Nobody can stop the purposeful will of God. God has definite areas where he has had his hand at work. And an example of this would be God purposed a savior for mankind. That savior would be in the form of his son, who was the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. I mean, that's what we go through every Passover season. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. I mean, we've seen God's direct will at creation. We've seen it at the birth of Jesus Christ, which was a unique birth. We call it the incarnation. It wasn't like any other human birth. He was the Son of Man and the Son of God. In Galatians 1, verse 4, it says, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Notice, according to the will of the God and Father. I mean, Jesus also said, I will build my church. And again, we see a purposeful will. God's purposeful will, his direct will, is very clear in the pages of the Bible. God is in control. He is the supreme being. He wills it, and it gets done. Well, the second area of God's will is we can call it preferential. So the first is purposeful, direct. The second is preferential. And this is where your and my free moral agency comes in. I mean, God says, here's what I would like you to do as human beings. I would like you to follow this direction and walk in this way. but I am not going to force you. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to make the delineation in your mind whether it is good enough to serve God, me, God, or if you want to serve yourself. I mean, look at ancient Israel, was supposed to serve God in a very specific category of service to God, but they did not follow it. They turned to other gods and they went in different directions and they brought upon themselves curses. I mean, there is case after case in the Old Testament where Israel did not listen to God's warning and they suffered for it. I'm reading through 1st and 2nd Chronicles right now, and it's just crazy how every opportunity just about, they went after other gods. They would not listen to their creator. Well, the preferred will of God was stated by the prophets, was stated by all those who were sent by God, but they did not listen. And through their free moral agency, which God gives us, they chose to go their own way. Well, is it any different in today's society? I mean, really, people are not listening, and as a result, the curses are mounting. And we hear this every day when you turn on the news. I mean, we hear about this problem or that problem. They're cursed in the cities, they're cursed in the field, they're cursed here, they're cursed there. I mean, it's turning into nothing but a mass of curses out in the world. Well, God said that it would be that way if people did not follow his commandments, if people did not follow the way that he wanted them to live. We know that God is sovereign. We know that he is all powerful. However, that does not mean that he directs every little thing that goes on in our lives as humans. If he did that, that would clash against the idea of free moral agency. So we've got to balance this sort of free moral agency with the sovereignty of God and then see how it applies when we ask the question, what is God's will? But God also reveals all that happens within the context of his will. But all is not his will. So let me say that again. All that happens in the context of his will, but all is not his will. Because of the free will, God allows many things to transpire, and out of it, he weaves an absolute masterful plan. The plan is going to bring about the end result that he has purposed as the sovereign Lord. I mean, Jesus understood that he had a mission in life, and that was to comply with the purposeful will of God. But he also had to live a life of obedience to the preferred will of God. Jesus had free moral agency. He was not a puppet. He could have walked in many different ways. I mean, after all, what is the whole purpose of temptation if it is not to tangle against our choices in life? Adam and Eve were given a choice, but Satan seduced them to go the wrong way. Well, Matthew 4 tells us that Satan once again appeared to Jesus. And what does he do? Well, he tries to use the same bait on the Son of God that he did on Adam and Eve. If you are the Son of God, make those rocks, these stones, turn into bread. I mean, Jesus was fasting for 4 days. He must have been incredibly hungry. And here Satan is throwing things at him to tempt him. I mean, Satan is really saying, prove who you are. Prove that you are the Son of God. But Christ responded by saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, the preferred will of God must flow through our minds so that we know how to live God's word. By understanding and living within the preferred will of God, I mean, we're constantly demonstrating our faith and our confidence in God. You and I have been given the good news of what this world is all about. What a precious gift. Most of the world has no idea what is going on, and yet we've been given that gift, a calling and a purpose that brings us to understand the preferential will of God. God desires for us to live a certain way, and we can see the world has not chose that way. Those that do respond receive a blessing, and those that don't receive, reap the consequence, the penalty for their decisions. Turn to Colossians 1, and we'll read verse 9. Colossians 1 verse 9, it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will." I mean, with understanding how God's will applies in life, we can live a peaceable, happy life, not one with turmoil and disarray. But people, when selfish, go down a path that leads only to chaos. I mean, look at what's going on in this world, in the Middle East, the terrible things in Africa, the diseases, the droughts, the killing. I mean, turn on the news, and even in this country, it is getting crazy. But understanding what God wants, by understanding what His preferential will, by understanding how to apply the Word of God in our lives, when we begin to realize that we're not strangled and handicapped by the commandments of God. We're liberated by them. They set us free from this world. Ephesians 6:6. Ephesians 6:6 tells us the following: "Obey them, not only to win their favor when their eyes is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Mr. Brown sort of mentioned that. I mean, that's the key. Obedience has to come from the innermost parts of our makeup. We can't just obey for show, for other people to see us. I mean, so every day we have to make choices. And God says, make the choices that emphasize my preferred will in your life. I mean, it's really a beautiful thing that God has revealed to us in Scripture. So now let's look at the third area of God's will. And this is His permissive will. He permits it. I mean, this means that God has neither determined nor stated His preference, but that He allows certain things to happen in the context of free moral agency, and it falls into the overall scope of His will. Let me give you an example of this. God did not purpose Lucifer to sin. It wasn't His preferential will that Lucifer rebel. But Lucifer, acting on free moral agency, did what? Well, he sinned. Well, so what did God do? Well, we know that God purposed a church of God. And Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So the church of God was prophesied to be part of God's determined will. And we see this in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. It says, He who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of anything we have done, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. And that's far reaching. And in other words, God had his base covered way before mankind started to make wrong choices. By knowing there was a Lucifer who had gone haywire, I mean, God said, I will use this to my advantage. I'll use this opportunity and give people a chance to do what is right, to live the right way. And if they don't, if they submit to the wrong way and listen to Lucifer, then they will have to learn the hard lessons. I mean, Satan's way is not the way to live. I mean, God proves to the universe and all creation that his way brings happiness and joy and peace to all participants. When we choose Satan's way, it leads only to turmoil in our lives. And watch the news. It's one horrific story after another. People just do not have answers to how to fix the problems in this world. I mean, people say, well, if God is all powerful, then why does this happen? But God is a grand master when it comes to understanding what needs to be done and how in the end to use it for good. I mean, God took that rebellion that Satan and a third of the angels went into, and he's using it for good. It was not his purpose. It was not his preference. But he's taking that rebellion and he's using it and allowing it to exist for a purpose that will bring us right back to his full determined will. And what is that? Well, it is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is our whole purpose for being. God is going to bring about this wonderful plan of salvation. And Paul says in Romans, and it's exciting because he made this statement. He says, all things work for good to those who are being called according to God's purpose. I mean, it happened with the angelic rebellion. I mean, it also happens to us on a personal level. God is going to take all of our mistakes, all of our dumb, stupid decisions that we make in life, and because we allow him to bring this conversion process to completion, he's going to make all the wrongs in our life right. He's going to blot out our transgressions. He brings us to the precious blood of Jesus Christ by his grace into a saving relationship for eternity. You see, mankind is now leaving God out of the picture. Do you think God is worried about that? Psalms 2, verse 4 says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. I mean, the Lord scoffs at them. Man can plot and do all he wants, and he can exercise his free will in all these false directions, but it's not going to do anything for them. Who has the final word? Well, it is always God. God works many times through circumstances of human choice, and in the end, he does what he wants. He weaves into a pattern to accomplish his ultimate will and purpose. The bottom line is that things can come in life that we just don't understand. 1 Peter 4, verse 19 gives us something very important. In 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 19. It says, so then those who suffer according to God's will, should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Now, what is that telling us? Well, you could be working on the job and somebody makes a decision and it creates this huge problem in your life. And you didn't deserve the hit that you're taking, but you take it in the right attitude and follow God's guidance and direction. I mean, better that you take the hit than get all bent out of shape and end up sinning or creating another problem, bringing bitterness into your life. When you commit yourself to a faithful Creator, because God sees, God knows, God understands our circumstances way better than we can understand them. And even Jesus said when he was on the cross and dying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they thought they knew what they were doing, but they didn't. I mean, as a whole, people just don't understand. Even we did not understand, right? Until we had this holy calling come into our lives. When you see how people mistakenly presume that everything that happens in life is God's purposeful will, but that's just not so. I mean, there's a kind of blurring of this purposeful and preferential and permissive will of God. I mean, the reasoning is, since God is all powerful and nothing happens without his specific hand permitting, well, then he must be blamed for all the bad in the world. He must have been responsible for it. But no, I mean, people have choices. There's free moral agency in this world. Did God cause the tragedy of 9/11? Did he allow some people to live and some to die? Was that his purposeful will? No. Was it his preferential will? No. I mean, he says that we are to love one another. God is not willing that any should perish. I mean, he wants all people to come to the truth. But it will take time for that to happen. And God is very patient in doing what he wants to do. He's not in a hurry to get it done. He will be slow and methodical, and when it's all said and done, it will fulfill his determined purpose. He has allowed for man's free moral agency, and that muddies the water. So in conclusion, it was not God's direct will for this world to go crazy. I mean, it's not his preferred will that things in this world are bad. But since nothing can happen with his express permission, he has granted free moral agency. He allows bad choices in the world and the consequences of them. And tragedies will hit us. Tragedies will hit all of us. Events in life will happen that we just do not understand. But God, our God, weighs all things together. And he does what? We think of God like a grand master chessman. I mean, what does an amateur do when they're playing chess? Amateur thinks that he's going to win, so he makes a move. But with every move the amateur makes, the grand master is already 4 or 5 or 6 steps ahead of him. I mean, he's already planning his victory. And God is probably 1,000 steps ahead of what we're doing in life, of what everybody is doing in this life. So was it God's purposeful will that Olivia and Abigail died? No. Was it his preferred will that they not live in this life? No. Well, so why did those precious little twins depart from this life? Well, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. But I do know that God is good. I do know that God has a plan. I do know, on a personal level, God has taken horrible situations in my life and he's turned them into something wonderful. I do know that God plans to work good for everyone in the end. I do know that God's purpose is bringing many sons and daughters into the glory of his kingdom. And circumstances in this life are not always fair. Tragedies can strike us, and it might be hard, I mean, really hard to understand. But as a voice from the past once said, when you read the Bible, the Word of God, what does it reveal? Well, we win. We win in the end. And why do we win? Because God gives us the victory. Whatever circumstances in life that you find yourself in life, remember the wonderful and powerful words of Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua asked, choose who you will serve. We can serve ourselves, we can serve this world, but Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No matter what circumstances you find in yourself, I mean, that's the choice you and I have to rightfully make every single day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.